the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The presidential election is 6 weeks from today, and there are lopsided numbers in a poll of younger voters.
Vice President Kamala Harris dominates Donald Trump with voters under 30 by 17 points. That from a survey of young voters by the Institute of Politics at the Harvard Kennedy School. Among likely voters under 30, Harris leads 61% to Trump's 30%. Male likely voters support Harris 53% to 36%. Likely female voters are for Harris 70% to 23%. Harris has at least 20-point leads on numerous major issues and about ties Trump on the economy.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson, the error margin runs 2.5% to 3.5% of the poll. Boeing upped its offer to striking machinists. It's still not what they want, and union leadership will not present it for a vote. Jazz saxophone great and composer Benny Golson died in New York City after a short illness. He was 95. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More school threats. A 12-year-old girl all the way in Arizona was taken into police custody for making a threat to Milwaukee schools. Milwaukee police were investigating the threat and ended up tracking the IP address to her home in Buckeye, Arizona. She's now facing felony charges, including making a terroristic threat. You'll remember last week we reported that the State Department of Justice is asking parents to talk to your kids about these threats and make sure they understand how serious they are. The Trump campaign announced Sunday that they are launching a Wisconsin bus tour that will run from September 23rd to September 25th. The bus tour consists of 9 stops ending in Waukesha. The tour will feature former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy and RNC committee co-chair Laura Trump at the last stop in Waukesha. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last 2 games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way. They come to work the right way each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed 2 games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller. And I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warrens Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. But you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to around 70 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow sunshine 75. By Thursday sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. A couple of great days are lined up ahead of us weather-wise. It certainly doesn't feel like fall has officially started when we're looking at a forecast that says sunny and 75, but I'll take it. Today we'll get a light breeze and some cloud cover, but that's going to clear up tonight for full sunshine into Wednesday and Thursday. Chances of rain will come as we near the weekend. Stu Muck will fill us in on those details later this morning. At the bottom of the hour, we'll welcome market advisor John Heinberg following the latest crop progress report. We'll also have him outline market movers, including hurricane alerts in the Gulf, as we make progress on the harvest here at home. Before that, the fabulous Farm Babe sits down with our friends at the Steffes Group. They've done a roundup on the top 10 hottest items from the previous month's auctions. Some of the price tags might surprise you. But first, we head over to UW-Platteville as researchers take a closer look at the gases from a dairy cow. You and I might otherwise call it cow burps. Stick around.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
People are paying attention to dairy cows in a way that you wouldn't quite expect. And that's by analyzing their burps. Now, it might sound strange, but at UW-Platteville, groundbreaking research is using high-tech tools to track these gases that cows emit and what that means for both their health and our environment. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Dr. Ryan Prowley, assistant professor of animal, dairy, and veterinary sciences, explains how this innovative research is transforming dairy farming.
My research program is focused on automated milking systems and leveraging them as a nutrition tool for dairy cows. So our main interest is to see how we can precisely feed these cows through the automated milking systems and what ramifications that's going to have on the cow's productivity, efficiency, sustainability.
And so take me through then the actual grain feed machine itself. Tell me how it works. Explain to our listeners what it actually is and how it is measuring cow burps.
The grain feed is a big green box that the cows can voluntarily visit through the day, much like they visit the automated milking system. And when they walk up to it, the box recognizes who she is. And if she has permission, it drops a little bit of feed for her. And while she's waiting there and munching, she's exuding, burping gas through her nose and mouth, and a pipe in the box pulls it up and runs it through an analyzer to measure four different gases: methane, hydrogen, CO2, and oxygen.
It's giving you that data, but what is that data doing for you? You have it. How are you actually using it to kind of calculate that speed of what kind of gas is coming out of him and what is doing to our environment?
So by her visiting multiple times a day, we get a really good sample of how much gas she is using or expelling from her mouth. And that gives us some insight on what the chemistry of the rumen is, how much fermentation is going on, and the profile of fermentation. Obviously, by measuring CO2 and methane, we're directly getting an idea of greenhouse gases that could be emitted that we can relate to her productivity and efficiency. But we also get some information about the cow's energetics, and with the oxygen CO2 data, see what she might be metabolizing, what energetic state she might be in. And that gives us more and more insights into this precision nutrition format, making sure we're matching the needs of the cows with our individually tailored feeding program.
This is pretty new. So how long do you plan to track all of this, and what are you comparing it to? You mentioned greenhouse gas emissions, but kind of paint that picture for us. We've started it. Where's it going?
So what's really nice about the green feed is that it works 24/7, whether I'm here or not. So it's sitting there right in front of the pen, and the cows are visiting it 365 days, 24 hours a day, and we're constantly monitoring these emissions. What we're comparing it to is we have multiple treatments going on in our research pen where we are going to be comparing different nutritional interventions as well as management strategies and see how they relatively affect the gas emissions, the energetic metabolism of the cow, and see if we're making some pretty significant impacts.
And you mentioned you're changing the nutrition. So what feed are you giving them? Or can you explain just a little bit about the rations or just how that is differing?
So the main thing that we're doing right now that's part of a USDA grant that funded the purchase of the green feed is we are looking at two things. First, how fast we can ramp cows up and how much pellet we provide them after they calve to make sure that we're meeting their energetic needs for milk production and preventing health disorders like ketosis. And then we're looking at the ratio of how much pellet we feed a cow per pound of milk or per pound of energy corrected milk to make sure that we're getting some nice one-to-one matches and actually being more efficient with the nutrients we're feeding the animal, not only in the green feed through the gas emissions, but also looking at fecal and urine excretions.
How are the students here at UW-Platteville being involved in this and helping to analyze this data with you?
The students are really the workhorses here. They come out with me 7 days a week collecting samples and helping maintain a lot of our equipment that we have out here for research. And I got to tell you, they're really excited. The burp box, it's a fun thing to say. It's a fun thing to work with. And it's thankfully a pretty hands-off tool, but the students love helping maintain it and working on all the projects.
So speaking of that, what kind of feedback have you received from students so far regarding their experience with the burp box, as you called it, or even some of the other advanced technology that you guys have here? You've got the robotic milkers, those feed intake machines. So tell me, that's all complementing each other, but I can guess there's some maybe funny comments or aha moments from these students because maybe they've never been around it before.
They think it's really fun and cool that they get to be a part of some cutting-edge research that's going on here. And it really helps them explore what we talk about in class, like how different physiological states are affecting cow performance and tying back things like the impact of illnesses on a cow's performance. It's fun to watch the students see the data where it's like, oh, she dropped in feed. What does she have today? What is her issue? Can we look at the robot and see, oh, maybe she has a high conductivity. Maybe she has some subclinical mastitis or a clinical case developing or something like that. So for them, it's really interactive, engaging, and they seem to find it quite fun.
And you mentioned this has been supported through a USDA grant, but also through the Dairy Innovation Hub. So tell me how that has really impacted your research and just having that support.
The Dairy Innovation Hub has been a huge catalyst here at Platteville. It's what's helped seed a lot of our infrastructure improvements. The big one this past March, April being the feed intake system that we have now where we can monitor every individual cow's partial mixed ration consumption at the feed bunk as well as some smart cooling technologies and stuff that we've installed at the farm and made my research program and others and my collaborators much more competitive for a lot of these larger grants where we can really dig into the science and try to push dairy forward through research and innovation. I would just like to give a big thank you to all the dairy producers and stakeholders out there that have been a big support of the Wisconsin Dairy Innovation Hub and help ignite all the funding and research and cutting-edge stuff that we're doing here, not just for the dairy industry, but for the next generation, our students.
As Dr. Ryan Prawley, Assistant Professor of Animal, Dairy, and Veterinary Sciences at UW-Platteville, continues to lead innovative research, it's clear that even the smallest details, like a cow's burp, can have a big impact on the future of farming. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Matt LePay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. This weekend, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $1,999 or more, and get a $100 in-store or online gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax, it's Steinhoffels.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters at Joint Council 39, and Ben Wickler, Chair of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
A $500 cash prize. You can find the Fair Story applications on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, don't forget to check out our podcast, where we post unique Wisconsin agriculture stories daily. One of the stories I recently covered is how the grape crop is looking for this year. And luckily for wine lovers, Nick Havlick of Hav Vineyards out of Fredonia says that the grape crop is looking good this year, even with all the rain in the early spring.
Overall, we were able to avoid many of the issues with disease that were caused by all the rains we had this spring. Some of our varietals are down in sheer volume, and that could be a myriad of reasons, not necessarily just the rain. It could be the cold. It could be nutrients, et cetera. But, I mean, overall, we'll be satisfied with what we see out there. It's just getting them off the vine now.
Too much rain can cause issues with almost every crop, and grapes are no different, as it can bring diseases. Havlick explains what these diseases can be.
Well, rain causes a lot of fungal issues, black rots, mildews, etc., especially early in the season with the black rots. Thermopsis are different types of funguses, so basically it just requires more care, more spray control to make sure that you have an effective program, because once you get those types of diseases, it's very challenging to eradicate it for the season that you're on.
And luckily I have vineyards. There are 10 different varieties of grapes we're able to withstand the usual wet conditions. And now let's take a look at our forecast with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, isn't it lucky that all the spring rains won't be affecting our wine supply?
Well, that's a good thing. That's one we worry about. You know, not just talking tongue-in-cheek either. I know some wild grapes behind my place look really healthy right now. Well, we're going to talk about a little nicer pattern, not quite so warm as we've been lately, but there's still some rain chances around. And in fact, that check of weather radar this morning indicates the rain in far southeast Wisconsin from Kenosha and Racine right along the Illinois border and down into north central Illinois as well this morning. We look out to a little rain in south central Minnesota, northwestern Iowa. What's happening is low pressure is pushing up from the south, bringing that rain up through Illinois into far southeast Wisconsin. And I'd say about the southeast quarter of the state, there's a chance we could see a scattered shower or a little light rain here for a time during the day today. Further west and northwest in the state, fog a little more of a situation this morning, and some patchy fog is around almost anywhere in western and northwest Wisconsin. That'll stick around for a couple of hours and then begin to thin out, and the sunshine will turn out. Another very nice day, just cooler than we've been lately, a lot closer to normal for daytime highs, and I expect then we stay a little drier, and it sounds a bit more comfortable right on through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, warming up. Some rain chances start to edge back in as we look toward late Friday in southern Wisconsin, and that possibility begins to inch a bit further north up into central Wisconsin as we head on toward Saturday or Saturday night or into the day Sunday. I don't expect a major storm. I don't expect inches of rainfall, but with the tropical depression now could be Hurricane 9 off to our south, pushing up into the Gulf of Mexico. Some of that moisture may edge a bit further north and may help to enhance a little bit of a rain chance even in Wisconsin then as we make our way on toward and through the weekend or just into early next week. The temperatures, though, sound tremendous, a lot closer to normal. Yes, we should be in the lower 70s for daytime highs now, and I'm talking about mid and upper 70s here right on through the week. Still a prolonged summer-type pattern, very comfortable temperatures, great to be out and about, and certainly assisting with any of the field work we want to get done. Without talking about a cool, wet spell, it certainly would be expected at this time of the year. I'll check those forecast details right after this.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
The latest and the greatest in the global dairy industry comes to World Dairy Expo, October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This year, World Dairy Expo celebrates the golden age of dairying, just as sound and Technicolor technologies ushered in the golden age of film in Hollywood, so too have modern technologies propelled the global dairy industry. Learn more from around the world when you attend. For tickets, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
So, Stu, you're saying that there's a hurricane way far south down there. Is there still a chance that that could bring us some rain here in the near future?
Well, that could help push some moisture this way, Ben, and that's what I'm kind of expecting to help with a bit of a shower chance as we look toward the weekend. Today, we still just have that small system pushing up the Mississippi Valley and a few sprinkles, some very light rain, especially in the southeast part of the state. But I'd say Madison, Beaver Dam, Fond du Lac, there may be a little sprinkly shower once or twice here in the day. And otherwise, we expect more partly sunny skies. Further west and north, patchy fog around this morning. That fog may redevelop late tonight, early Wednesday, almost anywhere as well. Now expect temps today, for the most part, to be almost 70, maybe very upper 60s in the north, low 70s in the south. Not too uncomfortable with the north winds about 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy. That fog toward daybreak, a possibility. Very low 50s, maybe an upper 40 in the north. The north breezes at 5. After some fog early, sunny skies again for Wednesday. And we're talking low and mid 70s with the northwest breezes at 5. Sunny on Thursday. The warmth continues mid and upper 70s, warmest in the south. And the winds out of the north become easterly on Thursday at about 5. Ben, I'd even expect to be talking upper 70s on Friday. But in the south, that slight rain chance to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have some cooler temperatures after a few pretty hot weeks, isn't it?
It certainly feels comfortable. I don't know. I enjoy getting more done when it's cooler.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy being outside, too. If you're expecting any rain, make sure you let us know on our Talks text line at 877-301-FARM. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The presidential election is 6 weeks from today, and there are lopsided numbers in a poll of younger voters.
Vice President Kamala Harris dominates Donald Trump with voters under 30 by 17 points. That from a survey of young voters by the Institute of Politics at the Harvard Kennedy School. Among likely voters under 30, Harris leads 61% to Trump's 30%. Male likely voters support Harris 53% to 36%. Likely female voters are for Harris 70% to 23%. Harris has at least 20-point leads on numerous major issues and about ties Trump on the economy.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson, the error margin runs 2.5% to 3.5% of the poll. Boeing upped its offer to striking machinists. It's still not what they want, and union leadership will not present it for a vote. Jazz saxophone great and composer Benny Golson died in New York City after a short illness. He was 95. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More school threats. A 12-year-old girl all the way in Arizona was taken into police custody for making a threat to Milwaukee schools. Milwaukee police were investigating the threat and ended up tracking the IP address to her home in Buckeye, Arizona. She's now facing felony charges, including making a terroristic threat. You'll remember last week we reported that the State Department of Justice is asking parents to talk to your kids about these threats and make sure they understand how serious they are. The Trump campaign announced Sunday that they are launching a Wisconsin bus tour that will run from September 23rd to September 25th. The bus tour consists of 9 stops ending in Waukesha. The tour will feature former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy and RNC committee co-chair Laura Trump at the last stop in Waukesha. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last 2 games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we've needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation. And these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed 2 games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kristen Wolf returns from Democrats Abroad. If you live overseas, your vote counts too. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to around 70 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow sunshine 75. By Thursday sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have 3 updates, including a court decision favoring the over 97,000 Arizona voters who didn't have citizenship documents on file, a promising poll showing Colorado voters may embrace open primaries and ranked choice voting, and a court case by Robert F. Kennedy to sticker out his name in Wisconsin. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled September 20th that over 97,000 Arizonans who, because of a state error, were never asked for proof of citizenship documents, will vote using Arizona's full ballot. The state will work to correct the files after the 2024 election. Colorado Proposition 131 would implement single-ballot open primaries and use ranked choice voting should it pass in November. A poll of 800 voters by Colorado Voters First found 56% would vote for the initiative, 8% leaning yes, 21% no, and 4% leaning no. Another 11% were undecided. With hundreds of thousands of ballots printed and some early ballots already sent, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appealed to have his name stickered over on the ballot after the Wisconsin Ballot Commission denied his request. The commission has since asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take the case. VoteBeat Wisconsin reported that local election officials expressed concern at the time it would take and the unknown impact it would have on the operation of optical ballot readers. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. I don't know about you, but it feels like it is that time of year where people are getting the sniffles, feeling under the weather, having to stay home with the kids. And so it felt like the perfect time to share with you something I found in the old Farmer's Almanac. Home remedies that I've never heard of that apparently used to be popular in some areas of the United States. Maybe you've heard of these. For starters, this one really took me by surprise. Back in the day in the U.S., anyone who experienced epileptic seizures was advised to swallow the heart of a rattlesnake. Now, let me say again, I don't condone this medicine, but this is what used to be prescribed in the U.S. according to the old Farmer's Almanac. Maybe not prescribed, but a home remedy. Rattlesnake hearts are one extreme. On the other end of the spectrum, possum fat did the trick for chapped skin. For congestion, the home remedies called for mushed up onion and mustard spread on the chest. Today, I think a lot of us probably prefer Vicks or Watkins ointment instead of onion and mustard spread over our chests. That's what I got for you from the old Farmer's Almanac on a Tuesday, September 24th. Now let's check in with the fabulous Farm Babe. She's got a list of hot auction items this season, and the price tag might surprise you.
Changing things up just a little bit during the harvest season on this Tuesday, it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. Of course, great website. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. And you can also feel free to pick up the phone and give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group along with us. Let's start with that website first off here, Ashley, because you have compiled some of the hot items that people are looking for when it comes to auctions this fall. Give me your, what is it, top 10, top 8? I can't remember.
Yeah, so we do a top 10 of the previous month's auction. And, you know, it's interesting. And then we always try and put stuff from construction and transportation there as well. But, you know, the number one thing that sold last month was a S790 combine that was in Bloomington, Wisconsin, brought $377,000.
Wow. So there is still big demand out there for that kind of thing.
There is, even though there's been a lot of late model stuff sold at auction this spring and through the summer. I think that's going to continue through the fall as well. So be looking for some big John Deere dealership auctions coming up as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the market is still flush with equipment to find new homes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Again, Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group along with us. Now, aside from that top 10, giving you a little guidance on what people are still looking for, brand new element for the Steffes Group that helps make those sales possible. Tell me about this new Steffes Finance I can find out about on the website.
Yeah, so it's something we've been talking about for a really long time, but we wanted to offer people another avenue. You know, of course, this doesn't replace a bank that you're using that you have a great relationship and all them things, but if there's a piece or two you want separate financing on, there is going to be a financing tab. And I'm told, cross your fingers, that once you start that process, number one, you get to talk to real people, and number two, they can do the thing start to finish within a couple hours. And so, you know, don't wait till there's your piece is in extension if you want financing, but you know, the night, the day before, you know, the morning of, that should be perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, excellent. So all of the details available on the website to get us started, Ashley?
Yeah, absolutely. You just click the financing tab and just follow the instructions from there.
Again, Ashley Hoon along with us from the Steffes Group. Now, you mentioned that you are hearing from quite a few dealerships that want to thin their inventory before snow starts to fly. Anything else that's coming up you want folks to train their eye on or check back often?
Well, I think, you know, real estate has, you know, if I look at the past month and what's getting booked, we seem to start turning the tide where there's going to be some more real estate coming up here. And, of course, that's very area specific, depending on where you live and different things, if it works out for you. But, you know, of course, then we always have those investors that are willing to go wherever because there's just not a lot selling right now. But it has picked up in the recent, I'd say, last 4 to 5 weeks.
All right, folks. So like he said, if you're interested in the equipment or maybe you're thinking about pointing direction of investment or looking for extra land someplace, they can help you get it all done. Ashley Hoon along with us from the Steffes Group. That's Steffes Group.com. Fantastic website. Or if you prefer to talk to someone, need a couple answers, they are there. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hoon along with us from the Steffes Group.
Thank you, Pam. And it's certainly a timely conversation as folks get into the field. This past week, we did see Wisconsin farmers really make some progress harvesting corn silage, hay, and potatoes. Winter wheat is getting planted. The weather has also sped up advancement in corn and soybean maturity. The latest crop progress report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture says 9% of the soybean crop has been harvested. The soybeans are maturing about a week ahead of last year's pace and the five-year average. Senior grain merchandiser Josh Grunnett out of Cottage Grove says some of his elevators are still chewing through some old crop as they welcome in these new soybean bushels.
Yeah, we are absolutely early this year. Traditionally, we will get a few early beans off, early varieties, something that folks want to put a SRW crop in right behind. But we're actually in full steam soybean harvest. Some fields are ready to go before the farmer is. It is a little bit surprising from a year-by-year standpoint, but it has been dry. It's been warm since August 9th, and this has really pushed the bean crop along.
So you said some of these beans are ready before the farmer is. What about the elevator? Are you guys ready for beans?
We are ready for beans. We've been open here in southern Wisconsin last weekend for our harvest hours, accepting beans. But we are still executing through a little bit of old crop right there with the farmer. The farmer's marketing plan kept a little bit more grain back from the market and are clearing out their bin for what the USDA says that Wisconsin could be a record corn crop and near record bean crop. So farmer needs the space and so does the elevator. So we're executing right along with the farmer. We do wish the price was a little bit higher though. So that might keep a few folks on the sidelines. The sub $10 beans is not something that people get really excited to sell. And we certainly would like to see a few more dollars on the bean price. On soybeans specifically, you're right close to below break even on soybeans. And then corn in a lot of ways could be below break even. On the old crop, we do remind folks to look into new crop 25 on a corn price because there's still opportunities out there. Don't just throw the marketing plan away.
He says while you're in the combine harvesting the 2024 crop, that is the perfect time to think about the 2025 growing season. Start planning and securing your inputs for next year. Josh Grunnett is a senior grain merchandiser out of Cottage Grove. Let's take a look at what our commodity prices are doing on a Tuesday morning. From Chicago, December corn is down a penny and a quarter at 412 and a quarter. November soybeans are trading down 0.75 cents at 1038 and a half. Cash wheat is down 2 3/4 cents, trading at 579 and 3/4. July 2025 new crop is down 3 cents at 614 a bushel. USDA announced a new initiative at the Farm Aid Festival this week in New York. They've launched a Distressed Borrowers Assistance Network. The goal of the network is to provide personalized support to financially distressed farmers. Through a series of cooperative agreements, the national network will connect borrowers with help to regain financial footing. You can reach out to your local Farm Service Agency farm loan staff to learn more. While grain markets are moving lower this morning, the Class 3 milk contracts are ticking up. The October Class 3 milk contract is up 6 cents, trading at $23.85 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract is also up 6 cents at $23.18 a hundredweight. We'll see if that positive movement carries over into the cheese prices. Yesterday on the close, barrel cheese was unchanged from last week at $2.59. The 40-pound block cheese closed down 3¾ cents at $2.20, and AA butter closed down 3¼ cents at $2.94 a pound. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing joins us next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Matt LePay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. This weekend, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $1,999 or more, and get a $100 in-store or online gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax, it's Steinhoffels.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller. And I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warrens Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. But you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Back this morning, but I want to start out this morning asking if you anticipate any of that strength to come back or to continue.
Well, we'll have to kind of see how things play out here over the next day or so. That was a pretty strong day yesterday across the board, and you're almost 12 cents higher in corn. Beans almost 30 cents higher. Good move also in that wheat market. Got a couple things really coming into play why that market triggered the way it did. Some of it is just money flow right now. We've been seeing the funds kind of walk away from this big short position a little bit, maybe seasonally early. You know, typically we're in a spot where we're building towards a fall low or a harvest low type window. you know, as harvest is just starting to kick in, and now we're rallying here. So it's just one of those things that really scratches the head in terms of some of the money flow. But realistically, sometimes fundamentals get pushed to the sidelines when the money wants to leave a position, and that's what we're seeing at this time frame. Some of that has been triggered by, number one, that interest rate cut. We had that come into play. Just kind of makes a little bit more of a commodity-friendly environment, weaker dollar, more cash in the system. So that helps out the commodity space. And then we've been really watching South America. Obviously, Brazil, they are starting to plant. They're about 26% on their first crop corn, which is more used in the industrial side or in the usage side in Brazil. Doesn't really hit the export market. Obviously, the big focus is the soybean planting. They're about basically just under a percentage point done. Normally, they're about 1.9% done. But we're watching the weather very closely. They've been extremely hot, extremely dry. But it looks like as we're turning the page in October, as we seasonally see down there, some of the rains are starting to return. And Brazilian farmers don't plant until they get the rain first. Otherwise, the seed will just stay in the ground and not germinate. So unlike here, we want it dry in the spring so we can plant. There, they'd like to see some moisture.
I'd like to ask you a follow-up question on both of those points, John. First, with what's happening in the Southern Hemisphere in South America, as you said, they're starting their planting season. They're opposite of us. When do their projected planting acres or projected yields, when will we start seeing those kick in to actually shake up the market if they haven't already?
They already are out there, and the numbers for that projected soybean crop out of Brazil are massive. So that's why this market's really watching this rain side coming in here. If things do get back to a very normal raining pattern in terms of moisture, having adequate moisture for that crop to produce, we're expecting that Brazilian bean crop to push the 170 million metric ton mark. That's going to be well over what they produce this year, anywhere from around the 150 million metric ton mark. And you really got a soybean complex on the global scale, even if they were reduced in terms of their production, given the strength of our potential crop, which, you know, maybe has lost a little bit of top end here with the dry weather we had, but still we're producing a lot more beans globally than we're consuming right now, and that makes prices a little bit concerning. So this rally has maybe been a little bit of a gift here for the U.S. farmer, especially at harvest, to make sure we're getting some stuff moved.
Yeah, a gift in part thanks to the U.S. Fed cutting interest rates by more than expected. They lowered them a half a point. I saw it was the first rate cut since March of 2020. Any other takeaways for agriculture on what a lower interest rate could mean in the market?
You know, I kind of mentioned that first piece, and, you know, the biggest thing that sometimes that's considered to be a little bit of an inflationary environment, you know, the loosening up of money, more money in the system, that does cause inflation to rise. That was, you know, one of the reasons the Fed was making the rate, you know, the rate increases in the first place, was to get inflation under control. So by cutting them, it's the exact opposite reaction. And like I said, that's a little bit more friendly for commodities. And that may be one of the, like I said, the biggest reasons we're rallying here, at least over the last couple of weeks, was the anticipation of that. And now that that cut's in place, you know, just an environment that the funds who are sitting very, very short this market over the last handful of months is just kind of realizing that maybe we've done our job on that side of it. And now they're stepping out. You know, thing that's been disappointing is they have really moved a lot of their short position already to the sidelines, and we really haven't seen much movement in terms of price in the grain market because the U.S. farmer had a lot of bushels to sell and just made it a nice easy out for the funds to step aside from those short positions and the market price really not take off.
I want to shift gears to another commodity, John. It's been a while since I got to poke your brain about cattle. The latest USDA cattle on feed report did come out on Friday, and the synopsis or the summary has been that the cattle market has been trying to gain traction after about 6 weeks of lower prices. And the bearish market, it seems a little bit out of character for beef because we're still looking at low cattle numbers. So what's going on there?
Yeah, this has been a market that you got a very polarized community. You got some feeling the market's ready to fall apart and this little run needs to be sold immediately. And then you got some feeling that, hey, the bulls are back, let's go. And now, so right now, really, the cattle market's at a bit of a crossroads. And we got that cattle on feed report Friday. Didn't really have anything in it compared to expectations. It was right in line. That's very rare, especially when they get the placement number right. So we haven't seen much of a reaction out of it. But again, just like the other commodities, you know, we got to the 1st of September. We put a second bottom in on that chart. Prices have been rallying very steadily. Again, I do think that was some due to the money flow into the marketplace and the, you know, the prospects, those interest rates coming. Now that they're here, we need to see. So this 183, 184 area and all these front-end contracts is going to be a pretty key swing point. We'll need to see if we can get through. Cash trade at least is firmed up. Retail values have fallen apart a little bit here, back to their lowest level since May. So the next few days here, at least in terms of this cattle market, could be very, very key. I've been recommending make sure defense is in. In other words, let your cattle be the upside movement, but make sure we keep a floor underneath this market here. But I don't want to do anything that's going to cause a lot of upside risk in case this market really does want to kick in here, but at least make sure we're protecting some of those break-even type prices.
You know, when beef was at its highs, did consumers move away from beef? And do you expect, if they did, do you expect them to come back in now that we're seeing the prices fall a little bit?
You know, that's $1 million cattle market. You know, we've seen the demand really kind of hold in here. Now, retail values, like I said, have drifted down. Some of that is also due to the fact we're now into a fall, winter type demand season. We get away from those high price cuts like steaks and ribs and things of that nature. And now we're moving more into the ground beef, which ground beef prices are trading at multi-year highs at this time frame. But that's at least where the consumer likes to turn here as we move into some of the cooler months where the grilling is kind of put to the sideline.
In 15 seconds, John, I'm nervous about the hurricane's impact on the supply chain.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it comes. Obviously, the Gulf is a major shipping point, so that could be something to watch as we go into next week.
John Heinberg along with us, rounding out a Tuesday morning. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can find them at totalfarmmarketing.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Thanks for rounding out the morning with me.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Economic indicators point to a potential rough patch in the near term for farmers. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
At last week's Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City, the mood was a mixed bag. The farm bill is still pending. USDA is projecting lower farm income. Commodity crop prices continue to drop. One of the speakers was Dalyn Hoke, who heads the crop insurance arm of Zurich North America.
The severity and the frequency of weather events is clearly a challenge. And as a crop insurer, we know this fact very well. From extreme drought to now extreme moisture in parts of the country, as well as we see flood, hail, wind, spring freezes, just to name a few. This year in particular, we've seen significant prevented plant and replant in some of our Midwest states, such as Minnesota and Iowa, and we still see the lingering effects of drought in states like Ohio.
Hoke says it's understandable to feel some stress under these conditions.
Falling commodity prices and high input costs put stress on the family farm income, which puts then stress on our rural communities. It's hard for me to read that family farm incomes are going to be down significantly to a point in 2024 where some will not even hit break even. And at the same time, many other industries, their workers have been seeing wage increases post-COVID.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with an international traveler's tip on today's Work Money Minute. I remember when every country in Europe had its own currency, and traveling there meant worrying about how you're going to change your dollars to pounds, and then lira, and then francs.
Bonjour.
Now, today things are simpler, but I've still got two tips to travel smoothly and save a little. Number one. Use an ATM in the country you're going to and withdraw the foreign currency paper money that you want there. In most cases, you're going to pay less in fees and conversion penalties than if you visited a traditional currency exchange. Number two. Is to call and let your bank and credit cards know that you're going. Having your card turned down at your second meal in Paris because your credit card company thinks it's been stolen is annoying. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, have a good trip and take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM.